والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد. Respected brothers, sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As you may be aware that I am focusing on and I am talking about the 10 things of fitrah, of purity of nature, connected to remaining clean and remaining and staying pure. And I discussed the importance of purity in Islam, importance of cleanliness in Islam, importance of physically remaining clean, and that having an effect on the spiritual aspect of a human being. And I discuss all of this in detail, and I don't want to really go again and recap because that's what I do every day, but time is very short. So there are 10 things of fitrah, 10 things regarding which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they are from sunnah, they are the practices of all the prophets, and a lot of emphasis has been laid on these 10 things. The first one was about cutting of the and shortening of the mustache, which I discussed in detail. And number 2 is lengthening of the beard, which I talked about yesterday and the day before, certain aspects connected to that. I mean, each of these things, if you can dedicate a whole day for what, or you can, you know, write a whole book on just one of these 10 things. It's a very detailed subject. And then number 3, I talked about using of the miswak or the siwak, which is a very important sunnah of our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And people should try, men and women, both of us, brothers and sisters, should try to use the miswak as much as possible. It's a very neglected sunnah. Also brush your teeth with toothpaste and toothbrush, but also have a miswak, which is a sunnah in itself. Now, the 4th one, which I'm going to talk about today, is al-khitanu. You see, the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I recited earlier and which I, you know, mentioned to you, was that ashrun min al-fitrah. There are 10 things of nature. In there, this khitan, which means circumcision, has not been mentioned. There are 10 things. And in another hadith, he says there are 5 things out of fitrah. And in there, circumcision has been mentioned, and other things have not been mentioned there. So, really, you could say 10, and what I'm going to do is there's one, gargling of the mouth and rinsing of the nose, 2 separate things. We'll consider that to be 1, and we'll take circumcision in, so it stays and remains 10 things of fitrah. So, al-khitan. Khitan. What does khitan mean? It's circumcision. It's a very important sunnah, and it's, as you know, I don't want to go into the details of it, but it's the cutting on the private parts of a child. And you see, there's a lot of purity in that. Today, non-Muslims have raised objections on this, that how can you harm us, a newborn child? And how can you do that? How can you cut, you know, some part of his skin from his body when the child is so young? But there is so much hikmah, there is so much wisdom, subhanAllah, there is so much maslaha and benefit. And really, people have researched this issue of circumcision, and doctors have, you know, discussed this in detail, and they've mentioned so many benefits. Recently, we had it was organized by some organization, I don't want to go into the names, at some place, organized by some organization, and there was a big event at some place, close by, in near Leicester, where all the doctors were called, invited, and it was like 4 Sundays, every second Sunday of the month, we were discussing, it was Islamic jurisprudence and medical ethics. And we were discussing different things. So what happened was that issues, contemporary issues such as organ transplantation, blood donor, circumcision, blood transfusion, abortion, contraception, birth control, brain death, life support machine, you name it, all the different topics were all discussed. And what happened is that on each issue, a doctor, a specialist, and a qualified doctor. People, doctors came from all over the country. I mean, there was a big fee for the people who attended. It was mainly for the doctors. A doctor would discuss the issues from a medicine perspective, and then an alim who was given the opportunity to talk on the issue from an Islamic perspective. What are the rules concerning contraception, about abortion, about organ transplantation, and all of that. And I, alhamdulillah, I was also, you know, honored and privileged. I was invited. I did give 2-3 different, on different Sundays, gave talks on certain issues. But anyway, one thing really which intrigued me, which I heard from a doctor, when a doctor was discussing circumcision, he said, there are so many benefits he mentioned, but this just one which hit me was that there's been research has been done and that's stated, and this is an accepted fact in the medicine department, in the medical field, that a person who has been circumcised, khatna and khitan, has been done upon him, he has been circumcised, he is far less prone to being affected with AIDS and HIV. A person who has been circumcised, it's very unlikely that he will, it's not 100%, but it's very unlikely. I mean, his chances and risks, the chances and risks and the fears of him being affected with HIV and with AIDS is far less than that person who is not circumcised. SubhanAllah, I was just absolutely amazed. And he gave the facts and figures. It was all there with facts. It wasn't just something which he just said it out of his pocket. The research has been done on this aspect. So this is just one thing which really intrigued me. There are many, many things, and there's so much wisdom behind this. And whatever our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, whatever Islam informs us, there is maslaha, benefit. It's for the benefit of all of us, whether we understand or we don't understand. It, regardless of whether the ruling comes into our head or it does not come into our head, whether we understand the logic and the maslaha and the benefit behind it or we don't understand it, we just submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of Islam, submission. We submit, whether we understand or we don't understand. So anyway, this khitan, which is the sunnah, is one of the salient features of Islam, from the sha'air. Many ulama, like Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu, and many imams have considered circumcision to be wajib. However, according to Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, our Imam, well, the Imam of many people, some may not be Hanafis, some may be Malikis or Hanbalis or Shafi'is or whatever, but according to him, it is not wajib, but nevertheless, it is greatly emphasized sunnah. Sunnatun mu'akkadatun. It's greatly emphasized, sunnah mu'akkada. It's one of the salient features of Islam. If the whole community, if everybody starts leaving this circumcision out, then they'll be doing a grave, grave error, and it will be a grave sin. So it's greatly emphasized sunnah, and according to some, it is wajib, it's necessary. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith recorded by Imam Musnad, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and Imam al-Bayhaqi, that circumcision is sunnah for men and an honor for women. Sunnah for men and an honor for women. I'll talk about women anyway, but and in another hadith, again in Musnad of Imam Ahmad, get rid of the hair of disbelief and perform circumcision. And then even in this, from the things of nature, it's been mentioned that, you know, circumcision should be done. So it's sunnah, it's a salient feature of Islam. It's got a lot of emphasis, and therefore it should be done. Now here, there's one or two things I just want to say. Yeah, and also you see the wisdom behind this is that it's an important aspect of cleanliness, circumcision. You see, because Tahara, remaining clean, remaining pure, has been strongly emphasized in Islam. And when the foreskin is not removed, urine and other, you know, filthy things can be gathered and be collected under the, you know, folded skin. I don't want to go into too many details, but and therefore, not doing that, the area becomes, you know, it can be painful. Infections can occur there from bacterial growth and many other things. And therefore, khitan and circumcision is a means of great, it's a means of purification and basic hygiene for men and boys, and for males, of course. And this is the reason why I mentioned that there are far less, you know, there's far less risk of them being affected and infected with STDs, the transmitted diseases. And at the forefront of all of them are HIV and AIDS, of course. So therefore, it's a lot of purity. And also, you know that the Jews also do circumcision. So there's a lot of wisdom behind it. And therefore, it should not be avoided. When is the best time to do it? There's no specific age mentioned by the ulama. Some have said this, that, but it's that it should be done before reaching puberty, and also in a time when, I mean, the earlier done the better, but a time when, you know, it should not be really harmful for the newborn baby, so it can, you know, tolerate and bear the slight bit of trouble which the child will have to go through, and that's the best time to do it. And also, it's very easy nowadays because a lot of medicines have been created whereby it becomes easy. And also, I mean, you know, of course, you know, that the child will not able to feel it. Well, and as far as the khitan and the circumcision of the woman, of the female or women is concerned, the ulama have stated that it is not wajib, neither is it sunnah, neither is it mustahab or anything like that. It's just mubah, it's just permissive. This is especially in the Hanafi school of thought. But it's not something necessary or recommended per se or mustahab, no. It's just permitted. And even permitted meaning that it's just the slight trimming of the tip of the, you know, the area, the clitoris. So it's just very, 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 you know, small, minor type of cutting there and trimming. So therefore, it's not something which must not be or must be done. And in what, as I mentioned that, and it's an honor, it's a token for a woman if it's done. And if you want to do it on a newborn female, then that's also permitted. But if not done, then there's nothing wrong whatsoever. And so this is a few things about al-khitan. And also, one thing should be remembered here. I remember one thing here that once I got a question over the email by some people. I think the email was from India, that a community, there were people, a person who wanted to accept Islam, an adult who was in his 30s or something, and he came to the respected leaders of the community in that area, in that village or something, and he said, I want to accept Islam. And they said that you can't accept Islam until you don't circumcise yourself. Circumcision is a requirement to enter into the fold of Islam. So he said, subhanAllah, you know, I mean, this is very difficult for me at this age for me to, you know, carry out circumcision on me. It's going to be really difficult and I may not be able to tolerate it and bear it. But they said, no, you cannot accept Islam until you go and circumcise yourself. So this person, I think, was from India, who emailed me, it's quite, I think, a year back or so. And I wrote a long article on this as well. And I was really, really appalled by the people down there. How can you know, if a person wants to accept Islam and he comes to you and he is delayed because of you, and your action, then you will be asked about this on the day of Qiyamah. There's nothing, when a person wants to accept Islam, you don't even say anything. Accept Islam now, first and foremost, accept it. Say the Shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and then go and do whatever you want to do. Then tell him about circumcision. You don't, if he went away and on the way he died, then, you know, what's going to happen? So therefore, You know, I wrote an article. I said, look, Islam is very easy. You just accept Islam. There's no such a thing as you have to do circumcision in order to enter Islam. There's no such a thing like that. Who told you that? It's not a requirement. For an adult person, if a person grows old, even a person who was born as a Muslim, but the parents did not carry out circumcision on that newborn baby, he grew up, he became old, he's an adult now, or an adult who accepted Islam, came into the fold of Islam. The situation of both these two people, adult people on whom circumcision has not been done, what's the ruling? Should they do circumcision or not? The ulama state that if it's tolerable, if they can tolerate it, then no problem. If they want to do it, they can do it. It's good that they should do it if they can, if they can tolerate it. But if they think it's harmful for them, sometimes people may even perish. So if it's harmful for them, if they can't tolerate it, if they are not able to bear the pain of it, then it's not necessary per se, and it should be left. At times it should be left. So therefore, some people who make this necessary requirement that, okay, you can't be a Muslim until you don't circumcise yourself. It's completely outrageous. It's not correct. It's not in line with the understandings of Islam. We need to get a deep understanding of the rulings of Islam before we make statements and before we come to conclusions, jump to conclusions. So therefore, an elderly person, an adult, it's not necessary. If they can do it, then alhamdulillah, no problem. But if it's intolerable, and if they cannot bear it or tolerate it, then they can avoid it. Rather, they should avoid it. So this is a few things about khitan. So this is the fourth one. We've done four out of the 10 things of fitrah and nature. We come to the fifth one now. The fifth combination of rinsing of the nose and gargling of the mouth. Gargling of the mouth is called al-madmada. Madmada in Arabic. And rinsing of the nose is called al-istinshaq. Istinshaq, which means rinsing of the nose. Very important. These two are an extremely important sunnah. Both of these. Rinsing of the nose, as you know, that when we perform a ghusl, when we go to the bath, when we take a ritual, obligatory bath, both of these two are farz. There are obligations, they are compulsory, they are necessary and obligatory. Without them, our ghusl, our obligatory bath will not be completed, will not be fulfilled. So it's very important. It is sunnah in wudu, in ablution, and in ghusl, they are farz. It's very important that when we are taking an obligatory bath, we rinse our mouth thoroughly. No pieces of of meat or bits and pieces of food should not remain between our teeth. If they remain, then our ghusl will not be complete. We have to be very extra vigilant and extra careful about it. A lot of times after they come out, and then you take, you know, something, some toothstick or something, and something comes out from between the teeth, especially if you've got spaces between your teeth, it's very important that when you take a ghusl, when you take an obligatory bath, not even a small inch should remain dry. If something's left, some food is left there and water did not reach, then a ghusl is not done. If the ghusl is not fulfilled and it's not complete, then our salah and prayer is not complete. So it's very important, we need to do madmada and really gargle our mouth properly. Take the water to the throat and, you know, like, you know, when you're vomiting like that, it's very, in the hadith it says, بالغ في المضمضة والاستنشاق. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, exaggerate in your gargling and rinsing of the nose, إلا أن تكون صائما, except if you are fasting. So if you are fasting, then you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't exaggerate, take water right to the throat, because very likely that water will go through your throat and you'll break your fast. And even in nose. So this is about gargling of the mouth. It's very important that we thoroughly rinse our mouth. Having a bad odor in the mouth, this is also about purity, about remaining clean, not harming other people with bad smell and bad odor of the mouth. If in the morning, don't just go somewhere without, you know, performing miswak and brushing your teeth. It's bad manners, you know, when you're talking and you're standing and sitting right next to somebody and that bad odor comes out from the mouth, it's not right. So therefore, make sure that the breath is nice and it's fresh and you have a clean, fresh mouth. And also, the rinsing of the nose is very important. rinsing of the nose is very important. A lot of times people, you know, they keep on sniffing. They sit in a majlis and they keep on sniffing, which is very bad manners. It's not right. One of my teachers, one of our sheikhs, when we were studying, he used to really get angry. If somebody in the class used to sniff, he said, go in the wudu place and rinse your nose. If you've got, you know, flu or something, keep a, you know, tissue or something. Go and use water and sniff. Sometimes when we're performing wudu, we feel, you know, shy of taking everything out from the nose. But it's better to completely, because people are there, completely remove everything, than go into the majlis and into the gathering and keep sniffing. So therefore it's bad manners and it's not right. Keeping the nose clean as well. And also this is in ghusl, it's necessary. It's part of the, we should take water right to the soft part of the nose, make sure that everything is clean, and except if you are fasting. If the person is fasting, then he should not do that. So these two things are very important. And as you know that in wudu, we gargle the mouth, and when we perform istinshaq, rinsing of the nose, then what do? We you know, use our both hands, and I'm going to end with this inshallah. So this is the fifth one. Al-madmada wal-istinshaq, gargling of the mouth, and rinsing of the nose, inshallah. I'm going to end with this at the moment. Jazakallahu khair for listening. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.